Chapter 11. Vorla, High Priestess of the Steppe. We emerged near the shore, slipping from the fumes like a troop of ghosts. Smoke whips up over rippling basalt, coating our metal steeds in ash and making us all gleam in the moonlight. It's less than an hour since we rode out from the anvil, and we're dead already. Ach just doesn't know it yet. I find it hard to suppress a victorious smile. The warlord rides on, blinded by his lust for power, carrying me behind him through the blazing heat. Tylos must be attacking the anvil by now, and I thank the fumes for the eerie, muffled quiet. If Hach realized my trick, he might still have time to return and fight a battle he could win. I'm not going to give him that chance. The Blood Creed ride behind us, the hooves of their hideous mounts crunching across the black rock. They make a monstrous sight, but it won't make any difference. Nothing will survive what lies ahead, not even Tylos and his gleaming host. As I recall his noble figure striding through the battle, I feel a trace of guilt, but quickly suppress it. I didn't choose Tylos's path. I'm just turning it to my advantage. Shapes loom out of the smoke and I gasp. The lake shore is crowded with hulking beasts. They're crouched menacingly on the rock, as though about to charge. Hach grunts with what might be laughter and rides on. As we near the shapes, I see that they're not creatures but buildings. Hovels built in the shape of enormous horned heads. They're all painted blood red, and, as we walk past the mouth-like doorways, terrified faces peer out at us. There are few survivors of the old kingdoms left, but some still eke out a pitiful existence as slaves and lackeys for Hach and his ilk. "My kinsman," I mutter. As they realize that the Blood Creed hasn't come for them, a few dare to wander out into the moonlight, and I see their strange outfits. They've made costumes from scraps of wood in an attempt to impersonate the monsters they've based their homes on. They wear horned, wooden helmets painted to resemble brutal, bestial faces. They look so absurd that I would laugh if not for the pitifully deranged expressions on their faces. My beloved people have descended into superstition and barbarity. Khorne has broken their minds as completely as he has broken their land. Our destination looms into view. A blackened fort, a hulking slab of scorched metal, layered with dozens of smoke-belching chimneys and oil-spewing pipes. The artifice of the Blood God may be graceless, but it is powerful. I feel a growing nausea as we near its crumbling walls. Unlike the towers of the anvil, the fort leans back at a drunken angle, as though straining against the huge chains that link it to the bubbling lava. The chains are each thicker than Hach's chest, and there are so many of them that they form a kind of rattling skirt spreading out from one side of the tower. There is only one door, and Hach strides towards it, climbing a row of steps that circle the tower's base. He leaves his army behind and drags me along with him. There's nowhere I could run even if I wished to. But Hach won't let me out of his sight. As we wind around the scarred rock, I get a better look at the strange machinery that adorns the metal bastion. Illuminated by the hellish light of the lake is a vast collection of gears and spindles, scorched and blackened, but still intact, and coated in thick black tar. The chains are threaded through various wheels and jammed in place by hunks of rusted iron. I've seen such infernal engines in use before, and I prayed never to do so again. After several minutes, Hach reaches the door, a brutal riveted slab of brass tall enough to admit a giant, but with no obvious handle. Next to the crudely wrought door is a stone plinth, topped with a long curved horn. Hach glances at me, then pounds the door. The clanging echoes through the tower, and soon I hear the slamming of doors and the clattering of armored feet on metal walkways. After a few moments, the door swings inwards with a grudging moan. We're greeted by the smell of old machines and rotting meat. There are figures in the gloomy entrance hall, more of the brutish armor-clad blood creed, and one of them steps out into the moonlight. I've met Korlach the Keeper once before, but familiarity doesn't lessen the shock. He's almost as massive as Hach, but rather than weapons, he carries the brutal tools of his trade. His blood-stained armor is adorned with billhooks, iron staves, and thick, studded manacles. In his hand he clutches a jagged trident, warped and glowing with heat, as though recently drawn from a furnace. Tucked into his belt is a cruel, barbed whip. It's not the brutal implements that make me shrink away from him, though. It's his skin. It is corpse white, marbled with indigo streaks, and sags away from his body like an ill-fitting suit, revealing glimpses of the glistening flesh beneath. The effect is made all the more disturbing by his oddly gracious manner. He performs a ridiculous, formal bow, and then gestures towards the open doorway.
"My lord, Hach,"
he says, his words turned into a moist rasp by his flapping, bloodless lips.
"What an honor! What an honor indeed!"
He glances back at the figures loitering inside the tower.
"I received no word from Val that you would be inspecting the fort. We have made no preparations."
He tries to tidy his face, tucking his skin back into place and smoothing it down like a courtier adjusting his wig.
"Get us across,"
says Hach, nodding at the ranks of knights gathered below. Korlach frowns and then laughs.
"For a moment there, I thought you meant you were going to the crucible right now."
His laughter causes his skin mask to sag again.
"But of course, you don't mean that."
He waves us inside again.
"You'll have to excuse our lack of preparation. You can use my chambers to rest until it's safe to make the crossing."
Hach grabs Korlach by the arm and hurls him towards the brass horn.
"Now!"
Korlach looks shocked.
"My lord, we can't cross now. It's nearly dawn."
Hach lets go of me and clutches his sword in both hands.
"Are you the only one here who can take me across?"
Korlach briefly shakes his head, but then he sees sense and nods.
"Yes, my lord."
He waves his trident at the lake of lava.
"No one else can control them. Without me, passage is impossible. I assure you, I've spent long decades mastering the techniques and understanding the..."
Hach silences Korlach by raising his sword a little higher.
"Of course."
Korlach turns to the horn. He swings the mouthpiece to his lips, and a harsh braying sound fills the air. Korlach's lungs seem bottomless, and the noise grows to an unbearable volume. I clamp my hands over my ears and almost topple down the steps, but Hach drags me to his side. Finally, Korlach lets go of the horn and staggers back from its stand. For a while, there's nothing but the echoes of the horn blast. But by the time Hach has led us both back down the steps, a great din is booming out from the walls of the tower. I hear the rattle of machinery lurching into life and the roar of huge furnaces. The narrow windows spill crimson light out into the darkness, demonic eyes opening one by one. Whatever engines are contained in the tower are so powerful that the ground beneath us starts to judder and shift. Geysers of oil and smoke burst from the ground, and the pipes that go down start crackling as energy blasts through them.
How long?
Asks Hach, ignoring the tower and staring out at the lake.
Not long, mutters Korlach. The beasts do not dare keep me waiting.
A little pride creeps into his voice.
Such monsters are difficult to control. Many died before I managed to perfect the machines. Too much power and they'll die. Too little and we'll die.
I wish that I could take his trident and plunge it into his chest. Whatever creatures are out there, they deserve a better fate than to be tormented by Korlach's sweaty hands. Korlach catches my furious expression and stares, as though seeing me for the first time. Hach doesn't notice. He's too busy watching the cluster of chains that have begun winding back in from the lava. The lake hisses and booms as the metal lurches from the depths, glowing and sparking as it rises. Korlach smiles proudly as his machines do their work. A few hundred feet away, an island of coiled, scratched brass rises, an entire headland wrought of spiraling, pockmarked metal. As the chains drag it towards us, I see Korlach's monstrous slaves, towering ox-headed beastmen with brutal swooping horns and four arms, all lashed to the sides of the metal island. There are hundreds of them, heaving the great disc of brass from the boiling lake. Their bodies are crackling and smoking like roasting meat.
Gorgons,
says Hach, with a hint of respect in his voice. Korlach nods proudly. How do they survive? I ask. Why doesn't the lava burn them up? Korlach nods at the pipes and chains joining the tower to the lake.
These engines have girded them with the wrath of the blood god. It doesn't protect them from the pain, but it certainly keeps them moving.
He laughs and pats his whip.
They're more demon than beast now, but they wouldn't dare defy me.
How will we ride it?
Asks Hach, staring at the quickly approaching island. Korlach laughs.
With care, and getting on isn't the only challenge.
He points his trident at the clouds of ash overhead.
When my servants rise, they always bring a crowd with them.
I look where he's pointing and see nothing but embers falling from the night sky. Hach clearly sees something more.
Ready your axes,
he bellows, looking back at the blood creed.
We're going to have some sport.
I must prepare for the landing,
says Korlach, heading back into the tower, yelling orders as he goes. The Gorgons make a horrific sight as they haul the metal to shore, straining and thrashing at their bonds as gangways hurtle down from the tower, locking the island into place. Korlach's men dash back and forth through the lava spray, acting out a lethal dance as they fasten more hooks and chains onto the limbs of the giant beastmen. Then, suddenly, with a grinding screech, one of the Gorgons breaks free. It charges through the lava, bellowing and making straight for us. Dozens of Korlach's men are smashed from the walkways as they try to halt it, thrown to their deaths in the lava below. The Gorgon reaches the shore and does not pause, still running straight at where Hach and I are waiting. I back away, but Hach just glares at the monster. It towers over him, but he looks at it as though it's no more dangerous than a stray dog. Korlach cries a command, and grappling hooks blast out from the walls of the brass tower. They slam into the Gorgon with such force that they punch through its chest, and send it hurling back the way it came. It crashes to the ground, lifeless. I glance at Hach, wondering if the attack has deterred him in any way, but he barely seems to have noticed. His gaze is still locked on the far shore and the tantalizing glint of brass that lies beyond the walls of the crater. I've completely ensnared him. My heart races, but I try to calm myself. It's not done yet. My visions have misled me in the past. After what seems to me a painfully long time, Korlach's slaves succeed in pinning the island down under a forest of staves, chains, and walkways. The Gorgons heave and roar, unable to break their bonds, and Korlach appears from the tower, his skin mask in complete disarray.
"Be quick, my lord!"
he cries, waving us towards the walkways and rushing to meet us there. He points at the clouds. The embers now look more like shooting stars, rushing towards the lake.
"We must board before the attack!"
As we climb across ramparts and onto the trembling jetties, I see crowds of Korlach's slaves hanging from chains as they try to hold the Gorgons in place. As they crank their gears and shove their levers, the bonds tighten, finally silencing the monster's feral cries. We are only halfway across the gangway when there's a scream of grinding metal, and we are all thrown off our feet. Several of Hach's knights are hurled into the lava, and for a moment I think I might follow them, but Hach still has hold of me. Another one of the Gorgons has broken free and is thrashing from side to side. More slaves are thrown to their deaths before Korlach can reach the scene. He and several of his lackeys arrive carrying a long pipe that ends in what looks like a diamond harpoon. They fire the point deep into the Gorgon's thick neck, and it drops from view. As they run back down the gangway, Korlach waves at figures lining the battlements of the brass tower. There is a flash of sparks and flame as they activate another machine and send a bolt of energy down the pipes. The metal crackles with power and the Gorgons twitch. The air crackles as they start to heave the island back into the lake. Korlach grins as he runs back up the walkway, waving us on towards the center of the island. The heat makes me feel sick, and embers settle on my face as I run, scorching my skin, but the Blood Creed do not falter. Korlach leads us up an incline until I see where he's taking us. There's a scorched, blackened hole blasted right in the center of the metal island. It has created a kind of walled enclosure lined with jagged terraces and trailing masses of chains. Korlach and his men wave us down into the scorched pit, but the Blood Creed need no instruction. They flood down into the hole and begin fastening the chains to their armor. Hach drags me down with him and binds me to his jagged plate armor with a thick chain. We're barely settled when Korlach gives another signal, eliciting more blasts of energy. There's a clanging din as the Blood Creed are thrown to their knees, and I'm forced to cling onto Hach's armor. For a terrifying moment, I think we're going to plunge beneath the lava, but the furious Gorgons keep the metal above the surface as it powers back out into the lake. Heat pours over me, and I can't seem to catch my breath. I try to rise and cry out, but then the world turns black. When I come to, I'm on my back, looking at a mixture of stars and spinning embers. Hach has gone, but I'm chained securely to a shard of heat-warped brass. At first, I think I must be delirious, the scene is so nightmarish. I'm surrounded by the howling, grunting ranks of Hach's knights, and they're fighting for their lives. The air is teeming with huge, ferocious animals, snarling feline monsters with great leathery wings and broad, slashing claws. Before my books were burned, I spent long hours studying the creatures of myth and legend, and a name tumbles from my lips. Manticores. They're roaring furiously as they dive, tearing Hach's warriors from the metal and feeding on them like gulls fighting for scraps. The more the manticores kill, the more enraged their shrieks become. They hurl corpses into the lava and roar with bloodlust. The manticores are almost as massive as the Gorgons, but the Blood Creed are inhuman and utterly fearless. After the initial shock, they soon start to revel in the slaughter. They laugh at the terrifying creatures as they cut them down. Hach has unshackled himself and climbed to the lip of the silver crater, surrounded by fumes and sparks. He's like a captain at the prow of an infernal ship, howling as he cuts the manticores from the sky. The beasts fight on, berserk, but the end comes quickly. As the last of them plunges to a fiery death, I lie there on the scorched metal, shaken by the horror my world has become. Chaos has tainted every part of the Carvel Step. Everyone I ever loved died at the hands of Hach's armies. Is revenge really enough? As Hach's knights celebrate their victory, I can think of nothing but Tylos, striding towards me through the flames, blazing with valour.